Deutschlandfunk. Corso. Kunst und Pop.
How did you both come together for this multiple artistic project, you, Seamus Murphy, and PJ Harvey?
She saw my work from Afghanistan, my black and white photography. I've been going to Afghanistan since 1994. And I brought out a book in 2008, which was, you know, incredible history. Of their history was, you know, huge civil war after the Russians left. Then the Taliban came. Then, you know, there was 5 years of Taliban rule, and then you had 9/11, and then you had all that happening, Americans invading, NATO going in. Then you had Iraq happening. So what happened then was that all the stuff that was happening in Iraq, and people forgot about Afghanistan, and then the Taliban came back, and then you had Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they had democracy growing. So it was an incredible period. So I had an exhibition and a book in London, and she was researching Let England Shake, that album, and she was interested in Afghanistan because she'd been reading blogs that English soldiers were writing about life in Afghanistan and Iraq, and she saw the work and it spoke to her in some way, and she got in touch, which is what she does. You know, if she likes something, she gets in touch with where it comes from, you know. And we thought that the wish list would be a book of poetry and pictures. Her poetry, my pictures. She would make an album, and I would make a film, sort of the whole thing. And then I would, you know, because I travel a lot and I do my own work as well, obviously, that I would maybe draw in some other stuff. Like, I was in Syria three times in 2012. She didn't come because she was, you know, but that was still, we were still working on the project. I was in America doing the Trump rallies. And this was something that was so powerful and dangerous and was going to affect everyone. And places like Afghanistan, it was certainly going to affect, and it is affecting. So I thought it was important to try and include that. So it's taken a while to finish this project, but, you know, we weren't in a hurry. And also, the album came out in 2016. If I brought, you know, if the film was ready and out around the same time, you'd kind of just see it as a film about the album, which, of course, it's very connected, but it's also its own animal. Yeah. And that was really important to both of us, that, you know, there was a separation, although obviously they're connected. Like the book as well. I mean, the book is very connected to the film and the album, but it's very different. You know, I mean, it's poems. Some of the poems are exactly the songs, mm-hmm. or their variations. Some of the pictures are from the very places that I was filming, but they also are pictures from 1994, 1996. In Kosovo and Afghanistan. So it's a real spread. Huge project, really.
Seamus Murphy, you have been to all these places before that you then travelled with PJ for the project. Did she, in a way, with her view, open new perspectives for you?
Yes. It wasn't at the time, but when I read what she'd written and what some of the little drawings that she made, you know, there's a bit where the Sufi men are chanting. I've been there a few times, and I've always been sort of in there trying to get the, you know, as close as possible, and with the audio, like. But she was a bit back. She did this little squiggle, like a spiral going down, and she, in her writing, it's something about men, they're burrowing into the earth to try to get to the center of the earth. You know, amazing image, and I, you know, that's what I got out of traveling with Polly. It was this other angle, and I think she brought that to those places too, for people. They're going to see Afghanistan in a way that's not guns, terrorists, you know. I think you're seeing a different place. And then she goes to the studio in London, so she's written a song, but then there are these other people in the room who are all amazing musicians, and they're making their contribution, and they don't know where it's come from necessarily, but so there's all this information and all this culture from everyone is feeding into this thing which becomes a song. And I love that.
But how did you bring her into the mosque with all the Sufi men? I mean, she's a woman.
It's, well, the Sufis are probably the most tolerant form of Islam, and they had no objection. And I she was respectful, and all these things are important. You know, how you present yourself, and she's very polite, and she's very, you know, so she was very easy to travel with. It may not have been the case. I'm not going to go there. You know. That she was fine, and she got so much out of that trip, because I think it was the first time that she travelled in anything like this way, that it wasn't a schedule, you know, because from 21 or whatever, she's been a musician that's had a management and if she was traveling, most of the time she'd have somebody organizing things. And I think she felt very liberated by it. In fact, she said, this is the best travel I've ever done.
You also chose Washington, D.C. as a location for the journey. And really, I didn't expect to see so much poverty there.
D.C. is like the center of Western power in the world. This is where they make decisions about Afghanistan. And five metro stops from the White House, you've got some of the poorest places, I wouldn't say in the world, but some of the poorest places in America, and certainly some of the much worse conditions than a lot of Europe. And, you know, I think the majority of people in D.C. are black. You know, you go to D.C. and you go to the White House and the Monument and Capitol Hill, and usually you see a lot of white people. But there's a whole other life going on. And you don't really hear that much about those guys. There was a group of young people in D.C. that I got to know, that Polly wrote songs about, and Polly and I met in 2014. And then, of course, the Trump thing was happening across the river. You know, you don't see them shouting, "Fuck you, Trump." Although they do say it, and I didn't include it because it wasn't a good little sequence.
Yeah, the kids, they are really flirting with your camera, Seamus Murphy. Does this happen often to you?
Yeah, Afghans are terrible flirts too. Terrible flirts. Because they're very vain, they're very good looking, Afghans, and they're very aware of how good looking they are, and they like to be photographed. And the big trick is to sort of try and do it so that they don't know they're being photographed, so you can get a natural thing. But, you know, with performers like those kids who are rapping, you know, they're wonderful. I mean, I don't direct them in any way, you know, and they're shouting out their Instagram, you know, names and hashtags, and, you know, Pawnee, the main sort of character, and like their leader, she's walking down and she's talking about all the people of her family that were killed. It was completely spontaneous. I mean, it was all unrehearsed. Usually I'd put the camera, and then it was them. They just controlled it.
And who in the end had the idea to record the album in this white cube sort of thing with a one-way window so that the public could watch what's happening inside, but PJ and the band couldn't see them?
That was Polly. That was like Big Brother, wasn't it? No, that was nothing to do with me. That was a very late idea. I think it was like, I wasn't even thinking I was going to record the making of the album, because I thought, well, that's going into another direction for this film. I don't know if that really fits. But then when I started hearing this idea and saw them building it and the audience going to come in, and then I could hear the nervousness of the producer and Polly. Are we going to see them? You know, well, no, we'll do this. That's how we'll work it out. So that we can't see, we don't know they're there, but they are there a lot of the time. We won't know when. But then it just all, you know, she goes there, she brings it back, and she goes to this incredibly, sometimes, you know, difficult place, and she comes back to this white room. It's too good.
The result of this journey to Kosovo, to Afghanistan, and to the Skid Rows of D.C. are very beautiful things. I mean, a picture poetry book, songs for PJ's album, the Hope 6 Demolition Project, and finally this movie, A Dog Called Money. How far does such a project risk to exploit poverty and misery for a beautiful piece of art?
Yeah, I one thing is, I think it would be really bad not to go to those places because you're frightened of being seen as exploiting them. Because actually, if you're interested in the world, if you're interested in looking at the world, you do need to go further than your doorstep. And I risk my life at times to be there and to report from there. And she is interested in those places. I also feel if you can bring another version of how people perceive these places, not just headlines as terrorists, war, you know, if you can sort of show that there's a guy in a shop who's playing music and you walk in and he welcomes you, that I think is very important. I don't think it's exploiting. It for us, it was very interesting. Hopefully the end result is more understanding. And maybe too that, you know, when Afghans are knocking at the border and they're escaping some terrible thing, you might see them as more of a human being than a mass of people who are here to kind of take over your jobs and blow us all up. Because they're not the people that I met. But I totally understand. And I mean, I'm very aware of it. And you know, I think more and more there's talk about appropriation. But I think also we should be very careful not to build up walls. You know, we already have an American president who's building up big wall. We don't need to build walls. Like, why are you going there? Because it's there. Of course people have their own identities and maybe they feel that they've been exploited, you know, by white middle-class men, middle-aged men, you know. Absolutely, I totally understand that. But I think I think you have to question what people come back with. That's important. But it's a very valid question, absolutely. Yeah.
Seamus Murphy, you are living in London. Several artists have already announced that they will leave Great Britain in case of Brexit. So will you be one of them?
I'm not planning to leave. In fact, at the moment, I'm shooting Brexit. I'm shooting Steele's project on Brexit. So I'm probably going to hang around. When everyone's leaving and the guns are on the... That's when I'm going to be back working. You know, so the front line might be in my doorstep. So the war comes home. I do fear for what might happen. Not war, but I think there could be unrest. If there's a second referendum, which I think there should be, if there's a second referendum and we don't leave Europe, then I think the people that did vote Europe and the people that were pushing them, they're going to have social media, they're going to have protests, they're going to have... So that, I would be scared of those people. I don't see the liberal elite, as people call the people that wanted to remain, taking to the streets and being violent, although it could happen. If you look at the logistics and what's involved in exporting things and importing things, it hasn't been thought about. And so I think there's going to be a huge stress and problem, you know.